And we open up to Daniel chapter 12. I gave you homework last week. Asked you to figure out some things that have baffled other brilliant minds like my own, and hopefully, not sure what you came up with. We'll see here. Daniel chapter 12. Okay, to orient ourselves here, Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. So Michael, the archangel, is specifically specified. That's a little redundant, I realize. To take the part of Israel. So apparently he is Israel's more or less specific principality, just like the prince of Persia had his own principality back a couple of chapters earlier. Verse 12, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. We know that as the time of Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah 30. We know it as the great tribulation in Matthew and Mark. Verse 1 again, and at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. We covered all that carefully last time. And verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. He's told to seal the book till the time of the end. In Revelation 22, John is told to not seal the book because obviously that is the time of the end. So Daniel's told to seal it until the time of the end. We'll discuss that more in a second. Many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall be increased. And that's always cited as being the days that we live in, they say that we cross a point only 15 or 20 years ago where we have now doubled everything that we know from since the beginning of man in the last 15 years or some such thing as far as the body of knowledge. So whether or not, I don't know how they figure that out, but if that's the case, who'd be surprised? Verse 4, many shall run to and fro, knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, now to make sure what we're talking about here, the guy clothed in linen has been the fellow that's been talking to Daniel for quite some time. Look in Daniel 10, verse 5, I believe. This guy is mentioned. This is the angel that's been talking to him for several chapters now. 10:5, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz. So that's the guy in linen that's talking about. So now there are two others that show up, one on one side of the river, one on the other side of the river. The guy in linen is standing on the water of the river. Verse 5, the one on this side of the bank of the river, or the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? So, Mr. Angel with the answers, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? These wonders go back to verse 1, time of trouble, the time of the end. We're talking about the great tribulation here. And in verse 7, it goes on to say, and I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half. Or time and times and half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Well, you recognize the time, times and a half as time one, times two, so three, and then a half, 3.5 years. The 3.5 years, the time, times, and half a time are mentioned 4 times in the Word of God. Once back in Daniel 7, once in Revelation 12, and once here. Also mentioned and in the same context are the 42 months that the Lord's always talking about. Those 3.5 years, those 42 months, on a 360 day year of the Bible, which we believe that's what they're dealing with, that winds up being 1,260 days. So 3.5 years is 1,260 days. Same is true of 42 30-day months. So we're talking here about the same amount of time. It's a very prophetic thing as we've gone through over and over here. So it goes on to say, verse 7, swear by him that liveth forever and ever that it shall be for a time, times and a half. So being asked when the time of the end should be, when is the end of these wonders, he cites time, times and a half a time, talking about the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble back in verse 1. So that much makes sense. That's half the tribulation. The first part of the tribulation is a covenant made. The Jews are sacrificing in the temple and things are going pretty good. And then the Antichrist slides in, breaks the covenant, sets the abomination of desolation in the temple. And from there, things go downhill seriously. The Jews flee, are fed for 3.5 years in the wilderness by the Lord, preserved there. And so that part is the great tribulation. So that said, verse 8, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? So he doesn't understand. Well, Daniel, neither do I. So verse 9, he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So having asked, now explain again, Lord, what was that about? He says, the words are sealed up now till the time of the end. So verse 10, then we go to, many shall be purified and made white and tried. These would be tribulation saints. But the wicked shall do wickedly. That certainly is true. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And this is where it gets a little bit gnarly, because we have the baseline of 1,260 days, 3.5 years, 42 months for the second half of the tribulation. But then a question is asked in verse 11, and I wrestled with how the question was worded. See if you have any more success. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Well, 1,290 is obviously 30 days more than 1,260. So it's a little over 3.5 years. And, I mean, we understand, in fact, I would understand it from back in chapter 11, verse 31, and a couple of other places. I mean, when we talk about the Antichrist forcing the sacrifices in the temple to cease in the great tribulation, then shortly thereafter, the abomination of desolation is set, right? And, I mean, I'd always looked at those things as primarily more or less, you know, a 1-2 type thing happening basically at the same time. It doesn't make any sense to me, and I don't, if it does to you, you tell me how. that from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up shall be 1,290 days. That almost reads like in the middle of the tribulation that when the sacrifices stop, that then it's 1,290 days before the abomination of desolation is set up. I can't see how that would work. So what I'm wondering is, just with the phrasing, if what it's asking is, starting from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, from that point on, when is the time of the end? In other words, I guess what I'm saying is that maybe the 1290 with the 30 days difference is that the abomination of desolation follows 30 days after the sacrifices cease. Otherwise, I can't figure out how there would be over 3.5 years between those two things happening on a timeline and figure out how that would work. Anybody have any thoughts? You had homework. Tell me what you thought. Tell me what you did. Anybody figure out the 1290? Okay. You didn't take the homework thing very seriously, did you? So I got that part. At least I have a hypothesis about it. So then you have 1290 in verse 11. Now, verse 12. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. So now the next number is 1335. That is 75 days more than 1260. So, for all I can say is it looks like to me that, okay, you have the abomination of desolation, it's set at the 3.5 year mark, and now it's saying there's another 3.5 years plus 75 days till something, and then the guy that reaches that day is blessed. Anybody have a clue what that is? It's a good thing I studied the lesson because I don't think y'all did. Anybody have any ideas? Only thing I came up with, and I can't say what it is. Remember, go back to chapter 9, verse 24. I've never heard an explanation here that's satisfied, and at least what I'm going to say makes sense to me. We're still not going to know the answer, but in verse 24 of Daniel 9, notice several things are going to happen here. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And then several things follow, separate things. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. And obviously, we have promises now where our righteousness is everlasting already. So it's talking about an end-time scenario at the end of the Great Tribulation, at the end of Daniel's 70th week, where these things are separately brought to pass for somebody besides us, because many of them are already done for us. But notice, to continue, the fourth thing, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and then to anoint the Most Holy. I don't know, after the abomination that maketh desolate is set up, after the sacrifices cease in the temple in the middle of the tribulation, I'm not sure what happens 75 days after the 3.5 years is up, but plainly something happens. Whether that is the Lord actually being coronated king, you know, an official ceremony type thing where they get to see Him coronated king here on earth. I know he comes back with a crown on his head and on a white horse and whoops up on the heathen. I know that's true. I know he's king then. But I mean, as far as the ceremony of doing it, that sort of thing, I'm not sure. There is one other number we need to look at real quick, because back in Daniel chapter 8, and notice verse 13, there's another number. And so we have 1260, we have 1290, we have 1335, and then there's this one. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he's talking there about the time of the Gentiles, middle of the tribulation. It's taken away. The Gentiles take it over once again, and it's trodden underfoot, the holy threshold, the temple grounds. Verse 14, he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now, if you take from the middle of the tribulation, from here, 2,300 days forward, that is 1,040 days more than 3.5 years, which would indicate that maybe the sanctuary is not going to be cleansed and fully set back up again until Jesus Christ has reigned, and it's going to wait until about 3 years into the millennium before the sanctuary is actually cleansed. Now, that's what it said in Daniel 8. So, I don't know how to make these numbers work any different. I don't know exactly what is meant by the 1260 plus 30. I don't know what event this is talking about. We know that at the end of 2,300 days from the middle of the tribulation, the sanctuary will be cleansed, which puts it about 3 years or more into the millennium, which is fine. I mean, I know I read one where someplace in Ezekiel where, think about it, for instance, you have all the nations of the earth gathered together against Jerusalem, right? Armageddon. Jesus Christ comes back on a white horse with his armies behind him, and he treads them underfoot. The blood in the valley of Armageddon flows to the horses' bridles. There is going to be a lot of carcasses and carrion in the land of Israel for a good 2 or 3 years, while everybody cleans up the mess, or else it just rots and the buzzards and eagles and stuff come and eat stuff. So maybe they wait until the land is cleansed enough from all the death for the sanctuary itself to actually be ceremonially cleansed, because there's not going to be another battle like that for another 1,000 years. So those are just thoughts. Anybody else do any thinking about this week? I'm going to have to test you next time. Bryce, go. Oh. Well, that wasn't the homework. Yeah. Right. The buzzards and vultures over there historically have only laid 2 eggs. Really? Really? Wow. So they're getting ready to. They're doubling their population. Interesting. Amen. Well, if you get 200 million guys trampled to death and squashed like grapes on a battlefield in a valley, it's going to take a while for buzzards and vultures to clean that up. So maybe it takes 3 years. I'm not sure. Carrie, did you have your hand up? Oh, okay. We'll give you a pass. All right. Sounds good. So those are my thoughts. What the case is exactly beyond that, I'm not sure. look down in verse 12. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. That's 75 days beyond 1260. But go thou thy way till the end be. So, Daniel, go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. What's he promising there? He's promising Daniel's going to be resurrected at the end of the days. Right? Read it. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest. Daniel's dead, and I guess at rest now. And stand in thy lot at the end of the days. He's going to rise. Now, he's not the only one. Let me remind you about what the Bible says, for instance, about David. Look in Ezekiel real quick. Ezekiel 37. And that's the resurrection, apparently, that it's talking about back in verse 2 of chapter 12, where the dead of the earth, of the dust shall rise, some to shame, some to everlasting contempt. But Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 37 is the chapter of the Valley of Dry Bones, where the nation of Israel, as dry bones, is risen from the dead in the millennium, and the flesh comes back on their bones and they live. It's the rebirth of a nation. Israel's a nation now, but barely hanging on by a thread. Every day, if you happen to subscribe to the Arutz Shiva thing that you can get online, I mean, there's stuff every day about the Palestinians and the Jews just fighting it out, just battling it out. There's nasty stuff said both ways. Well, there's come today that Israel, I mean, fully as a nation again, will arise again, be the chief of the nations on earth. Now, with that said, and with that coming to pass, the Valley of Dry Bones, go down to chapter 37 and notice verse 20. Where do I want to start here? How about verse 21? Let's start there. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they are gone, be gone, shall gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. They shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so they shall be my people, and I will be their God. We're talking here about the millennium, okay? Look at else what happens. Verse 24. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. Now, not the house of David, but it says, David, my servant. And they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. They shall dwell in the land I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. So, I have no question that Jesus Christ is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the millennium, right? Got news for you. David rises and is the King of Israel. So that's a cool thing. By the way, that's prophesied again in Ezekiel 34, real quick. Ezekiel 34, verse 23. Ezekiel 34, 23. I will set up one shepherd over them. He shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. So Daniel's going to rise, that's what it says. His lot will be at the end of the days. I know David's going to rise. There'll be others that rise too, I have no question. I don't know which ones, but apparently. Any questions or anything else on Daniel? Yes, sir.
That's what that scripture means when it says,
Right. Right.
Exactly.
Yep.
And some to everlasting shame.
Contempt, yep.
And, you know, there's a lot of people that don't think that the second coming is ever coming.
Right. Well,
I happen to think that maybe we're all going
to be. Well, and to remind you, I mean, there's a second resurrection up here where everybody rises and stands before the great white throne judgment. But there's a resurrection here, church, mid-trib, post-trib, and then apparently a rising of a lot of the patriarchs, and especially David and Daniel, and they're apparently going to stand for 1,000 years with Christ in the millennium. So as far how far the everybody goes, I'm not sure. Because it says, except for the tribulation saints in Revelation, that everybody else, this is the first resurrection, everybody else waits till over here. So who exactly all it is exactly that rises, aside from saying the church, the mid-trib saints, the post-trib saints, and whoever the Lord has specified already with like David and Daniel when Christ comes to reign, I don't know. But, yeah. Anything else? Going once, going twice. Okay.